You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe.
It's that time of the year. Joe, you're talking about you didn't want to wait till Sunday for the next game. Well, depending on how you feel about college baseball, it's that time of the year to decide who's going to make the College World Series. So all day, we got games today and tomorrow. So if you need something to watch with some meaning, we're starting with Arizona and North Carolina in Chapel Hill. The Super Regional thing hasn't been around forever, but it's been around a good while now, as expansion took place, as far as more teams in the NCAA tournament for baseball. So, I remember the days, Joe, when you just had a regional, and I think you had four teams apiece. But now more teams, more chances to make money. So they did it.
More expansion,
exactly. Expansion in all parts of college sports.
And yep. College basketball is coming. Going to 76 teams or whatever they're going to do. Because can't wait.
That's needed. So now we have regionals and super regionals, and right now Arizona's taking on North Carolina. The rest of the schedule is out there if you want to take a look. The SEC didn't do particularly well in the regionals. I think they have one team going today in Auburn and then a couple more tomorrow. But we'll see. I'm not a giant college baseball fan. But at this time, of course, you start paying attention.
I don't.
You don't at all, huh?
It's just not a thing in the Midwest, man. It's just, I don't ever remember having to care about Illinois or Northwestern or Notre Dame or any college baseball. It's just not a thing in the Midwest.
It's generally a Southern and West Coast sport. Yeah.
And like, of course they play, but like, just the passion's not there. I mean, people that are in Big Ten country, they care more about the wrestling team than they do the baseball
team.
You
have good wrestling teams.
Yeah.
I guess if you had teams who could compete for national titles, you might care more. It's generally been a West Coast and Southern sport. And the team, I didn't grow up rooting for this team. I just thought their name was great when I grew up in Long Beach. Like, the 49ers is the nickname for Long Beach State, but they call their teams the Dirtbags.
That's
on
great.
Baseball.
That's great.
So I always remember them. And back when I was a kid, they used to be good. Them and Cal State Fullerton were very good. Some of that power structure shifted more to the South. And, of course, Oregon State has been a good program for a little bit, too, now. So college baseball going on right now. Let's get to Keith. He's got an NFL question. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Joe. It's going to be really hard to follow up college baseball.
It's not
conversation,
that hard.
But I'm happy to jump in here. So want to give a shout-out, happy birthday to Texans legend and current Baltimore Ravens wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. He's 33 years old today. My question for you guys is, I'm going to throw this out there. I want to see if you guys can name 12 trios better than Rashad Bateman recently extended, Zay Flowers, and DeAndre Hopkins of the Baltimore Ravens. Thanks, guys.
He
12?
He attacked our baseball talk with this, and he followed up with this. It's going to be hard for us to go on with the rest of the show if we went into naming 12 better trios than Bateman, Zay Flowers, and Hopkins. I'm going to tell you right now.
Why are you including Bateman in there for?
Because he's the third receiver.
Or Zay Flowers.
He's probably the second receiver, honestly, because Hopkins is washed. Let's be honest about things. Happy birthday, DeAndre, but there's a reason he's now floating around the league. Look, we've done this thing. Did DeAndre Hopkins wind up as a Titan at some point?
Yes.
That tells you.
Washed.
The Titans are the kings of signing washed receivers. They had Andre on the team for a little bit. Randy Moss at the end. So the fact that DeAndre could make it past the Titans and then wind up on two other teams, including the Chiefs, as he tried to ring hunt, and now he's doing the same with the Ravens. Look, Keith, you should acknowledge this. DeAndre's just and credit to him, I guess, it happens in the NBA. He's just looking for a ring.
Yeah, but then why do you go to Baltimore?
Because Baltimore is a title contender.
Yeah, you got the James Harden of quarterbacks, a lot of MVPs, not a lot of playoff wins.
I don't know, man. I mean, yes, he turned the ball over against the Bills, but Mark Andrews, catch the ball.
That's very true.
Don't fumble and catch the ball. Those are a couple of things that could have possibly.
That was not Lamar's fault.
Yes. Look, he had a turnover in what maybe a zone reader or maybe a guy came in, pressure, he dropped the ball. Sure, he had his moment or two, but that's a Mark Andrews joint. That's why they didn't win that game. But as far as – I'm not including any trio with DeAndre Hopkins in it. Sorry. You should have just said pass catchers and threw in Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely. That's a better trio than anything that DeAndre Hopkins is a part of.
Yeah.
He's probably their fifth option at this point. Stop it.
I don't expect Hopkins to have he have two touchdowns in his first game with the Chiefs, and then he essentially did nothing the rest of the year. This year, like, he wasn't an impactful player outside of his debut.
Yeah, he started the year at the Titans, and the Titans were like, "What are you doing here? You don't want to be here. Go." And then so he finished his career, his season with the Chiefs, 41 catches, 4 touchdowns. Just not an impactful player anymore. And it's fine. Understand, you want to be the veteran receiver on a team who has title aspirations, more power to you. But any trio, depending on DeAndre Hopkins as their third, isn't a good wide receiver trio. The Ravens, the Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman thing is fine. Neither one of them is a one. I mean, Zay Flowers is barely a two. Like, he's a little small to be a two when he doesn't have the elite speed of a in-prime Tyreek Hill. I don't know. The Ravens aren't built on their passing game or their wide receiver core. They're just guys. And Zay Flowers is a little bit better than that. But Rashad Bateman's always been a guy who they've expected to be better than he is. And they paid him in wide receiver terms, a modest amount. And it's right. They're right to do that. He did have 9 touchdowns last year, but caught 45 balls. I mean, it's Derrick Henry and the tight ends and Lamar Jackson's team. The receivers are just out there because you have to have them. And maybe they'll make a play or two because of all the gravity that Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson provide. But stop it. I'm not going through the list. I'm going to tell you, they're not in my top 12 without even looking at the list.
No, because there's so many teams with two guys so much
better than the two that they have.
Yeah.
And then so the third doesn't even matter, particularly when the third is DeAndre Hopkins. Cut it out, Keith.
He's trying.
He should try with something else than Ravens receiver talk. I know you made the connection because he used to be a Texan, but that's now how many teams ago now?
3, right?
Cardinals, Chiefs.
Oh, 4. I forgot about the Cardinals.
Titans and now Ravens. 4 teams ago. I don't know if you've heard, but we've moved on. We got Nico Collins, who could actually be someone at the head of a good wide receiver trio.
I'll take the Texans.
Like I'll take
Nico,
Christian Kirk, and whoever emerges from the other receivers.
Yeah, and one of the 3 Iowa State guys you have on your roster.
Whoever, I'll take that over what the Ravens provide. And then if we really start to investigate, you're not going to like where your Ravens are ranked. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you have comments on your favorite team and where their wide receiver core ranks, don't call. But if you want to call about something else, we welcome that. Me and Joe till noon, and then Paul Gallant following us out at the Kima Boardwalk. I'll tell you more about that when we get back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, starting at noon, the rest of the lineup, that is Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees, are going to be at Kima Boardwalk inside the Galaxy Adventure Party Room. And they're part, at least today, it's part of the summer circuit. It's back in ESPN Houston every week. We'll visit different restaurants all over the greater Houston area. Each week you can register to win the grand prize of the summer. It's a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It is a $4,000 value for registration. You have to stop by the promo table at the broadcast. So you got to go out there. So if you are driving around, maybe you're in the Kima area or got business around there, see the guys as they do that show. And of course, you're going to be doing it throughout the summer. So maybe if that is too far out of the way for you, there'll be locations closer to you as we continue our summer circuit. Thanks to the restaurants around the city of Houston, we will get you squared away. And you want to see the entire Summer Circuit schedule, you can go to ESPN975.com on the plan to go out there, see the guys, get some good food, and maybe win a really nice prize.
You can register every single time you go. So you can register 12 times.
So we're going to have 12 of these throughout the summer.
Right now it's 10, but the plan's for 12, yes.
Okay, so enough opportunities to have a real shot of winning, and we're not limiting it to one registration per
Yeah, just
person.
once per location. Okay, so yeah. I know on like June 26th, if you're in Baytown, we'll be out at Cactus Jack's. Haven't been there yet. Drive by it all the time when we go to Lake Charles. But we'll be out there. We have one coming up at the Downtown Aquarium. So we'll be all over the place.
Speaking of Lake Charles, the 7 to 12 block of shows will be out there starting Monday. John and Lance and I will all be out there from 7 to 12 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. So you want to come out there and join us, you're more than welcome to. We're out there for the finals. We'll be able to talk about game two of the finals on Monday and certainly get you ready for the rest of the series. So thanks to the people out at the Golden Nugget for having us out there to do a great job hosting us. We appreciate it all the time we're out there. And the Sportsbook is pretty cool. If you have never been and you want to see what it's like, you hear John talk about it all the time. John, known gambler. John, known lover of sports while gambling. It's all there for you. And no surprise, the Coors Lights will be flowing. Not on the broadcast, but if, like, well, I can't guarantee that.
It's either a little way, early.
Yeah. It's, well, you know his slow, you know his saying, can't be drunk all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's a great point.
So you never know. But either way, Lance, John, and I will be out there. So if you want to make the trip and see what it's like, all the times we talk about it and how much we praise the place, now's your opportunity to see, as we'll be out there for Monday and Tuesday to talk not just about the finals, but of course the Astros and everything else going on in Houston sports. And speaking of that, by the time we get back from Lake Charles, I think the Texans will be involved in a mini camp, a mandatory mini camp. Now, the question for a lot of people is, will CJ Stroud be throwing the football? They didn't like answering questions beyond their initial answers. DeMeco told you, general soreness. That's what it is. And then when, I believe, it might have been Will Kunkel asked them, did CJ have a procedure in the offseason? DeMeco said, that's it for the questions on CJ, guys. Like I said, it's general soreness. So, Joe, let me ask you this before we get to the sound. What do you think about actual doctors diagnosing sports injuries from afar? Like when you see it on Twitter, because there are sports doctors on Twitter.
Yeah, like Dr. Chow or whatever it is.
Who will see an injury and go, oh, that's a torn ACL. Oh, that's an Achilles. Oh, that's a hamstring. They'll do all that from afar. And you question, huh, you're a doctor. Don't you think you should actually just wait? Not that you would get to examine them, but don't doctors just say, hey, let me examine the patient before I find out. But, hey, that's a lane. But those guys are actual medical professionals.
I think it's the strangest thing we do in this business, straight up. I think the fantasy shows who, like, on a Sunday morning will have on a doctor to talk about player injuries and if a player is going to play and if you should start that player in your fantasy football lineup or wager on that player and they're not their doctor, I think is one of the more bizarre things we do.
Because
you don't know anything.
Yeah, because if you ask that same doctor about a patient that wasn't an athlete, they would say, well, I need to examine the patient. I'm not going to make the determination without actually being able to see the patient and talk to the patient. But it's a lane. I am aware it exists. I prompted Sean to become a medical doctor, not a real medical doctor, but an internet doctor.
Yeah.
Just, hey.
So you have one.
Yeah. Be Sean Mapes, MD. And when they ask you for your bona fide, say, why? Look, there's a diploma back there. Doesn't have to be a real one. Don't zoom in on it.
We can make a fake one.
Yeah, and then have Sean break down injuries, and we'll have Dr. Sean. In fact, we might have a bit during the NFL season, or where we have a Dr. Sean bit where he just breaks down injuries from afar. We'll see if we can get that done. But much like Dr. Sean, Chris Sims isn't a real doctor either. But Chris Sims can tell you what the issue with CJ Stroud is, and you shouldn't be concerned if you go by Dr. Sims.
What's there to be generally sore about in the shoulder of a quarterback who's just entering the front end of his prime.
Right. Listen, I don't know. I don't have the answers here, right? I mean, I'll get the answers, but as we talk about sometimes, I'm not the guy that's going to, like, call down everywhere and be like, hey, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's going on. My friends won't be my friends if I'm looking
for
every...
Yeah, you think Nick Caserio... You think Nick Caserio...
Exactly, right.
Call him up and say,
he is
hey,
a friend.
Nick.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, will you right. tell me what's really going on so we can talk about
right.
it on our
yeah.
show?
And hopefully I get to talk to him over the break or something like that, and maybe he'll give me a little inkling of what was going on when that storm is past or something like that. But yeah, I'm in the dark here. This has all, first off, let me just say this. I think if he got shoulder surgery or anything like that, we would have heard it. We would have heard it. So I have a hard time thinking that's the deal here. This has all the signs to me, Mike, of tendonitis, general soreness. This, to me, has all the signs of I got back, we got back training, I started throwing, maybe I threw a little too much at first, and now the inside of my elbow hurts, right? It's how golfers get it at times, right? Tennis players, stuff like that, because of that hinging and all of this as a thrower. And if you're not in shape for that or don't approach it the right way when you get back into it after a long period of time, that's when that can flare up. And this, to me, has all the signs of that type of thing. Elbow, shoulder. I would bet it's more elbow than not, but we'll see where it goes. But it certainly looks like that to me and my experience around the NFL.
So Dr. Sims, while opening with I don't know anything, believes that it's a elbow or shoulder thing, but more likely an elbow thing. But he's just letting you know. He doesn't know. He doesn't have any idea. He hasn't asked anybody. He hadn't seen CJ throw, but it's got to be the elbow. And you know, if it's tendonitis, which actually can be a chronic thing, you'll take that over structural damage at this point. But I know you were here. You were in for me on Wednesday while this was going on.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else other than we'll see regarding this? Are you sensing a real issue, or do we take D'Amico at his word?
I don't really care until
there it is.
August. It's kind of what Sean and I talked about on Wednesday. I mean, he has to learn a new offense. That is important. Not to take a shot at your guy here, Dell, but like,
what?
We don't have any proof of CJ having the issues that like Tua did, where Tua admitted after his rookie year he didn't understand the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
CJ's never publicly said that. We don't have any, you know, slanderous reports from the Bobby Slowick camp saying that CJ couldn't pick up the offense. I know the S2 test is low. But like I was talking, I'm not concerned about him learning a new offense. So I don't really care till like August. That to me is really when it's okay. We're deep into the summer. He doesn't have a connection with Christian Kirk. He hasn't worked with Noel and Higgins. Like what is really going on here? I am more curious about, for me, Mixon. Like, we have all these rumors going on that, like, they're talking to J.K. Dobbins, and he's in a walking boot, and he's fine, but, like, why are they talking to Dobbins? Why are there Nick Chubb rumors? Because that means you're thinking about addressing the running back position. That, to me, is I'm more curious of than CJ. As long as CJ's throwing August 1st or whatever that first practice is then, as we get close to training camp, I'm good.
They traded a future third rounder to draft Woody Marks.
Yeah, like, I have questions about, because we see running backs fall off a cliff. And then there's this video out there, which I can't find now, but I was trying to find it again, of CJ playing basketball.
Yeah, he was at a charity event. Thing at Toyota Center, was shooting the basketball.
So, like, if it's tendonitis in his elbow, is he shooting hoops? I
talked about it yesterday. I am not even concerned about the injury. I'm just far more interested in how the Texans handle it. Like, their evasiveness about it all. That's the interesting part to me, because I'm with you. As long as he's ready to throw when training camp begins, I think that's good enough for me. But I just like keeping track of the answers or non-answers from them as they try to, I guess, maintain some type of competitive advantage in the offseason. I'm more interested in their line of thinking. Well, I don't know if it was Will Kunkel, but whoever asked that question, it could have been a no. The question was, did he have a procedure? If it's a no, why not just say no?
Yeah, I think it is strange to do that. I mean, I know this time of the year you don't have to be as forthcoming. It does indicate to me that there was a surgery. And we're kind of – I've seen people doing the – we talked about this on Wednesday where with the – like it reminds me of the Jose Altuve buzzer stuff there are press conferences specifically after Christmas in which CJ's wearing a hoodie and people are like circling his shoulder and it looks like he's wearing a brace underneath his hoodie. So like maybe he did get hurt. He was sacked a million times last year.
In his final game, he got sacked like 8 times.
Yeah, so like if he is hurt, no one should be shocked. But as long as he's throwing by August, I'm not worried about it. And frankly, they're not the Astros, so I give them the benefit of the doubt.
I would acknowledge that as something that's that makes some sense, that they don't have a long history of obscuring details about things or just being flat out wrong about diagnosis of their players. So they don't have that on their docket. So let's not attribute Astros PTSD to what the to the Texans.
But I think that's why people are concerned about CJ. That's why it's a topic of conversation. If this was just the normal whatever time of the year, it's that it's happening around Yordan Alvarez and there's a fear. But if you look at the Texans history, it's actually a little bit opposite. Like you draft a player who, based on tape from his freshman year in college, is going to be an elite cornerback in the NFL and Derek Stingley Jr., but no one trusts him because of his medical stuff. He misses most of his rookie year, but what has happened since? Since he returned, he's been healthy. Joe Mixon, last year, while he's in a walking boot, had 2 horse collar tackles and was able to recover from both of those. We've seen J.J. Watt come back with major injury and return and play in his time with the Texans. Like they don't typically have guys that sit out besides Laremy Tunsil, who has been kicked off the team basically with a trade
and
to deal with major injury problems.
And the Laremy Tunsil thing you could maybe attribute to that just being a Laremy Tunsil. Why would I come back to play for this bad team?
Exactly.
So that may not be an injury thing or a training staff thing. That could be just a player saying, what? For who? For what? To come back and play. And, of course, Will Fuller had his long issues with hamstrings, but that's a guy who
that's missed, a Will thing.
That's a guy who missed time in other places too. So I would agree. They don't have a history of that. We'll just see how it plays out. And of course, the questions I'm sure will pop up again if he's not available for mandatory minicamp. But the stance remains: training camp is probably when you would actually get concerned if there was concern to be had. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks to Chris Sims, MD, for his diagnosis. You should all feel very good about CJ. Just some general tendonitis, if Chris Sims is to be believed. Okay, we got a couple more segments to go. No Michael Carroll today because he joined us yesterday. He has today off, so he won't tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. Although, he keeps mentioning Department Q. Good reviews there, so I'll be watching that this weekend while desperately waiting for the finals to begin again.
I'm rewatching Prison Break.
You did tell me about Prison Break, I think. So you're in on rewatching Prison
Break. Yeah, I'm rewatching it right now because the first like 3 seasons are awesome. I'm rolling through season 1 right now.
Got it. You told me that that would be the case. Season 1's good and season 2 as well. It's a show I've pushed aside for years now. I guess over a decade at this point. How long has Prison Break been off the air?
I think the last season came out in 2018.
Okay, so nearly a decade probably since it began. Haven't watched it. Saw it. Wentworth Miller, like him as an actor. He's the lead in that show. Just haven't gotten to it. Maybe I will at some point. But I think Department Q, thanks to Michael's recommendation and the backing of the general reviews, I'll get to. And maybe it's a time for Dead Reckoning or The Final Reckoning this weekend as well. Tom Cruise's movie, Mission Impossible. All right. That's our quick What Should You Watch? Guys. There's enough to watch. Find something. If you listened to the segment yesterday, Michael gave you what you should or shouldn't watch. So a couple more segments ago, me and Joe before we head out to Kima Boardwalk, and it'll be Paul Gallant and then the Killer Bees. But before then, we'll be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Michael Carroll's listening. I'll get to his tweet. Keith, who called in earlier, asked if his call was a good one. No, it wasn't.
That's not the worst I've heard.
Yes. Yeah, we've heard worse, but on the level of bad to great, it's not good. It's probably a little below average. He's a giant Ravens fan. You want to wish DeAndre Hopkins a happy birthday?
I did just see
things.
A clip that DeAndre Hopkins is... still lives here in Houston. Says he wants to be the second Texan inducted into the Ring of Honor.
I have to go look at his numbers.
Oh, he definitely deserves it.
Well, compared to the franchise as a whole, sure.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't be second, though. Well, I guess, would he be third?
Behind JJ and who?
Andre?
We have Andre isn't in, then he should
Andre's
be third.
Definitely got to be in there. I don't know. It's such a stupid thing.
Yeah, I don't know who is and who isn't, but he shouldn't be second if we're just going by accomplishments. It's JJ and Andre, and you can pick whatever order. And he was great for a good time, not a long time, but Arian Foster, when he was at the top of his game, he's not going to be in, but at the top of his game, he's one of the best Texans ever. Just didn't last that long.
He was there, though, for the throwing the H's up before the game. Still don't totally know what that tradition is that they promoted, but he was there. He's back.
Yeah, Arian Foster used to be a weekly guest on this station when it was 1560. And then...
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. And then when he became Arian Foster...
Yeah. Probably harder to pay
back. Yes. That's the way it goes. Not unexpected. But that was at the time where, as a young radio professional, I didn't realize that at a point a weekly guest had to be paid to join us. And at the time, Arian, like a lot of Texans, unheralded a little bit, so he was willing to make a name for himself doing the interviews, and as they do, stuff changes. And now I think he still resides in the city of Houston as well, as you mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins. He has taken several photos with Kobos over at Kobos Q. So I think I've actually seen him walk in at one point just to pick up food. So
I have noticed, I listened to his podcast a little bit. He randomly decided to get into baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But he made the decision, even though he lives here, to not become an Astros fan.
He picked a different team?
He picked the Brewers.
Did he have a reason for it?
I don't remember why, but I think he met some people that played for the Brewers, and it just kind of became a thing. He's throwing out the first pitch at the Brewers game, I think, next week.
Oh, look at that.
But, he's a Brewers fan now. I was like, you should have just jumped on the bandwagon. You've been here long enough.
That might be the reason he didn't do it.
Yeah.
To not be a bandwagon jumper. Pick a team who isn't immensely successful and say, that's my team.
I respect that. But you've lived in Houston for a while.
People would be fine if you decided to, as a non-baseball person, to root for the Astros.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a contrarian? Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Arian Foster?
Yeah. Who would have thought that he would have done something different and decided to be a Brewers fan? Now he gets to throw out the first pitch there. And the tweet from Michael Carroll is, he confirms, go watch Department Q. And he can confirm, this was a show we talked about yesterday, an animated, I think it's a movie actually, Predator Killer of Killers is awesome. So he saw that. If you don't know the synopsis, it's the Predator going after the best killers that are humans in different time periods. And somehow the stories will connect. Michael Carroll told us about it yesterday and said it was good.
We did get some big comic book news today.
What is it?
Ryan Coogler said that Denzel Washington will star in Black Panther 3.
I wonder what role he has for him.
It's after everything breaks in the upcoming movies, I think.
Oh, okay. So could he possibly be a different world's older Black Panther?
That's kind of what I feel.
A retired Black Panther, yeah. Something like that. Who knows? Or maybe he's T'Challa's dad in a different world.
Yeah.
Who knows? So that's news. Like Denzel's in his... I'm going to get paid phase. Not that he needs the money, but you want to put me in a Marvel movie? Cut that check. He's in that phase. Look, the man will do Equalizer 3, so you know he's not against getting paid. I'm sure he'll put on a really good performance. He was in a Gladiator 2 movie. It's not a great movie, but Denzel is like, IP? I love IP because that means there's money to
big
be had.
Money.
There's big money to be had. So he was in that. So this is the phase of his career.
Yeah, he's just cashing that bag.
Yeah, and I know he... Now he's doing it with accomplished directors, so he has a level of expectation about how good the movie will or won't be. So you do it with Coogler, you do it with Scott. Those are guys with names and have done good work. So he's not winding up in a Mila Jovovich Resident Evil type movie. I bring that up because she does a lot. Almost every movie she does, her husband directs, and she's in a new movie with Dave Bautista, who's actually not a bad actor.
Yeah, he's much better than I ever thought he was
going
to be.
But she's in a movie about, I guess it's based off of one of George R. R. Martin's projects that isn't Game of Thrones that he got into. It's something about, she plays some witch looking for some secret power that'll change the world or something, and Dave Bautista is in it. It says CGI-ridden slop fest, as you can imagine, from the trailer. It doesn't look like it's a good movie, but there it is.
Trailers, I think trailers now, trailers are deceiving. I normally, it goes the other way for me, where it's like you see an awesome trailer and the movie sucks.
Yeah.
I Thunderbolts did something where, like, I thought every time I saw a trailer, I was like, this movie is going to stink.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was great.
They did a really good job circumventing, or at least actually exceeding the expectations of what people are thinking. Marvel, you've got these group of characters who we only kind of really care about Bucky for most people, and he's certainly in the movie, but they did a great job. Florence Pugh did a really good job. She is one of those Denzel types where, aren't you too good for this type of stuff? Like, you think to ourselves, she does as a dramatic actor, she's in stuff where it's probably at a higher bar than some of the Marvel things, but she gave her all in that role and did a good job in Thunderbolts. We'll see what she's like in Avengers Doomsday. I believe she's scheduled to be in that too. Before we go to break, it wasn't going to be a TV movie segment, but Michael Carroll did chime in, so we got to that. Reed Shepard is a guy who was mentioned in one of Kelly Eco's latest articles. A lot of that article is about Rockets' potential moves to be made, whether they would be all in on Kevin Durant, and there's been some pushback from the Phoenix side of things. Their own insider says they have not called the Rockets since February because they didn't have a coach or a GM. Now that they do have those, they will get into trading Kevin Durant and having real conversations about it. So there's a source off going on there. But in the article, it talked about Reed Shepard and having a more prominent role, according to team sources. So it's good to hear, considering the investment, the third overall pick. He may be playing in summer league, considering the lack of time he had during the regular season. But I'm trying to figure out how they get there, because if we believe that Reed Shepard is coming back to play a prominent role, what does that mean for the likes of Fred VanVleet, who we expect to return? And, of course, Jalen, who they will tell you is supposed to be part of this team going forward. So how do things change for Reed Shepard? Does he just become the de facto backup point guard, and Aaron Holiday is not a guy that should be expected to be part of this team in 2025-26? Because that's the only way I see that happening. The way it appears Ime Udoka runs his rotation, you'd have to remove the veteran option and almost force Reed Shepard into that role before he's just going to give Reed Shepard minutes if he thinks Aaron Holiday is better.
Yeah, I think that's their plan, but I think Reed's got to show more for him to, like, really get that. Because it felt like he was earning minutes, and all of a sudden he had, like, one bad game and he was out of the rotation again.
Yeah.
And so can he be much better this year? I hope so. I mean, I think the plan, the hope would be that he takes over for Fred VanVleet as your starting point guard in 2026.
So Aaron Holiday has a year left on a deal. He signed a 2-year deal last offseason. So unless they're trading him, you have an obstacle to this alleged expansion of Reed Shepard's role. Unless, like you said, he just shows out. And some of that will begin in summer league. And, of course, training camp and regular and the preseason stuff will maybe determine where he is in that rotation. But
he's going to average 35 in the summer league.
Will he even play the entire summer league? Because sometimes the like guy will be, like, too good. They'll give him a couple games, and they'll just pull him out and say, all right, that's enough out of you. We've seen what we need to see. So it'll be interesting how they treat him. Will he get that Jabari treatment? If we remember, Jabari Smith lit up summer league, and they're like, we've seen enough. Thank you for your contribution to the summer league team. You can go rest and just hang out in Vegas. So maybe Reed Shepard does enough where he doesn't have to play as the Rockets try to win a summer league title. We'll see how that goes. But that was interesting to me. Not surprising. I just see obstacles still on that roster. So this will be, unless a trade happens to get Aaron Holiday out of here, or maybe Jalen Green's involved in a trade that doesn't bring back a guard, Reed Shepard is going to have to play better. He doesn't have a pathway to an expanded role, because he may have shown he's not just going to play the young players. At least not all of them. In some cases, you just will, because some of them are your best players. But in cases where your friend's rotation guys, he will lean in a different direction if you force him to. And he did that quite a bit last year. Okay, we got one more segment to go before we're done, before the Paul Gallant show begins. So me and Joe, for a couple more minutes, we will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Gotta be rough if you're in the Super Regional and you give up 2 3-run home runs. North Carolina well on their way to winning game one of that series, up 8-1 in the bottom of the second over Arizona. Paul Gallant will do his show out at the Kima Boardwalk. The Killer Bees will be out there as well. So 12 to 6, so got a remote. I mentioned it. It's part of our summer tour. So if you go head on out there and see the guys, you got a chance to win a nice prize, 2 e-bikes. The value is about $4,000. And if, like I said, you can't go out there, just check our schedule on ESPN975.com and see something that's closer to you. Because if you go out there, register to try to win, you can do that like 12 times, once per outing. But if you decide to make it a world tour and you want to meet and see us at all those restaurants, you got a chance to win something really nice. So take a look at the schedule, see what you can make it out to if you can't make it out today. Okay, before we go, we didn't even mention this, mostly because it's barely important. Aaron Rodgers is a Steeler. That is finally happening. It's mostly a benefit to all of us who don't want updates on it. Of course, that story won't die, because then it'll become, how is Aaron Rodgers doing in a Steelers uniform? Can the Steelers make any noise? Can he and DK Metcalf form some type of bond that makes the Steelers a problem in the AFC North? So the question for me and for you, Joe, from me, barring injury, does it go well enough that Aaron Rodgers plays all 17? Or is it at some point better for the Steelers to lose and they sit him going like, let's say, from week 12 on?
I mean, the hard part is, it's like, I mean, Mike Tomlin's never finished below 500. And
that's probably something he cares about quite a bit.
Doesn't it feel like the second he does that and misses the playoffs, he's getting fired?
Because he can, that like, can no so longer be held noise. On to.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much noise around Tomlin. But it's like, how do you fire someone that is that successful? Now, we've seen in the last 72 hours, what, Tom Thibodeau get fired today. I know people don't normally care. Hockey reference for the show, though.
Stars.
The Stars head coach, who was just in the conference finals, was fired.
And more than one. They've made like a couple in a row,
right?
They made
quite a few.
Yeah. And he got fired because he couldn't get over the top.
Tomlin, the Steelers have not taken that approach, but like, my expectation is that they're going to make the playoffs this year because it's what the Steelers do.
Now, they had the benefit of only having to really deal with the Ravens. The Bengals caught on late. They came on late, couldn't finish the deal just because the Broncos played a Chiefs team who did not care. So all the Broncos had to do was win it, and the Bengals were out. If the Bengals are as good as what people think they're supposed to be, then I don't see the Steelers making the playoffs this year. If that prediction about the Bengals is true. Now, they don't have Trey Hendrickson. That deal doesn't get done or not. They have a new DC, your former DC at Notre Dame, and Al Golden, who had spent time on that staff before. So they're trying to change things up. Coach Lou, or Big Lou, as they used to call him, gone, who was the architect of that defense that shut down Patrick Mahomes in that second half of that AFC title game. He got a lot of run out of that, but he's now gone. I like the Bengals in that division. I just don't think the Steelers are that talented anymore.
No, I agree. I think that The offseason's strange. You trade for DK Metcalf. You trade away George Pickens. I know that Mike Tomlin, when he gets tired of a player, he moves on, and he's typically right. It's like Mike Wallace and all those. I mean, Santonio Holmes was still pretty good, I would say, after he left. But, like, typically when they leave, they're not good. So it's still strange, though. Like, you could have had Rodgers, Pickens, and Metcalf. Instead, you just have Metcalf, and I don't really know who else.
Sure, Alan Lazard will make an appearance.
Like, is Roman Wilson going to make an impact on the roster this year? I liked him a lot at Michigan, but like, he was tiny, and he didn't play last year in the NFL. So I'm kind of with you. It's, if you look at the playoffs last year, they were the sixth seed. I think the Bengals will be a playoff team this year. So is there another team that pushes out the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Broncos? I think the answer is no, because I think Denver's much better this year. I think they're going to compete for their division this year. Yeah. I don't think the Chargers will miss the playoffs.
The only thing you would look to and asked the questions, the guy you threw some slander at earlier, is if the Dolphins finish 8-9, and that included like six games where Tua didn't play. Now, they have their own issues with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey's going to get traded. Tyreek Hill's probably too much of a problem to get traded. So if your starting quarterback plays all the games, and that's a big if when it comes to Tua, then that might be a real competitor because they didn't have him. They had Huntley and others and still were alive in the final week of the regular season, much like the Bengals were, but the Broncos had their easy win against the Chiefs. So if it is the Bengals making the playoffs, I think if we're talking about teams who were just out of the playoffs last year, Dolphins could be considered a threat. I'm sure there's a team that's going to pop up that we're not thinking about because that's kind of how it always plays out.
Patriots.
As well. Well,
schedule's easy this year.
It's easy. They spent a lot of money to improve that roster. Dudes are going to raise the floor. I'm not sure about the ceiling of the team. I'm not as big on Drake May as others. I think I see somewhat of a more athletic Mac Jones when I look at him play. But that's just one man's opinion who's never been that high on Drake May going back to his North Carolina days. But I know Patriot fans are very excited about him and what he can be. I am not there yet, and I don't think depending on Stephon Diggs as your number one wide receiver is a good way to go about things. Beyond the stuff he does on boats. Just think coming off an ACL, already an older player. He can catch passes 8 yards at a time. Just not sure if that's going to be a giant help to Drake May. But we'll see. We're a long way away from deciding any of that. But that music means no more talk about it anyway. We're done for the day. Paul Gallant is up next. And the Killer Bees will follow him. And where are they again? I know they're in the Kima Boardwalk, but where are they again?
Galaxy Adventure, the party room.
Galaxy Adventure, the party room. So if you want to see the broadcast and maybe win an e-bike, you can register for that if you go on out there today. But since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
In fact, I don't. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.